In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A few weeks ago, I received an email, not from a regular member of the congregation, I should add, in response to a sermon that I preached. Over the course of several paragraphs, I was accused of, amongst other things, of being both a Hamas propagandist and a terrorist sympathizer. And immediately after reading this email, I felt like a scorned little boy who'd done something incredibly wrong. And then I got busy with other things and moved on for a while at least. And after a few hours had passed, I instead felt a kind of self-righteous indignation. And I thought, how dare they? I should really tell them, like give them a piece of my mind. And I started thinking of all the things I could say to prove them wrong and to justify myself and to tell them just how wrong they were. And then again, I got busy and forgot and moved on. And then a few more hours passed again, and with a bit of distance, I began to realize that the email had never really been about me. I think really, I had just become a sort of dehumanized opposing point of view. And so, not wanting to fall into this same trap of treating this person as a viewpoint rather than a person, and not wanting to reply in a spirit of feeling hard done by or trying to justify myself, I started to think of the person themselves. Someone upset, clearly passionate, even if they weren't expressing it in the most constructive way. It highlighted to me how so much of our discourse today is centered around being made to feel guilt or shame, or to respond with self-righteous indignation. And this whole interaction caused me to reflect on how we do diversity of conviction and opinion and with disagreement, both in the church and in the world, both of which seem to be increasingly fractured, quicker to divide, to distrust, and demonize than ever. And it's tempting to say, well, it's just because we're so different now. People believe wildly different things. We don't share as many basic assumptions as we used to. But that feels incomplete somehow as an answer. Because difference and disagreement isn't a new thing, and is by no means a bad thing either. So we're left asking, is diversity of opinion and conviction a threat? Should we aim to all think and feel the same? After all, in our reading last week, Jesus prayed that all his followers would be one. But then, as we saw in our reading from Acts this morning, how closed in on themselves the disciples were when all they had was each other. And how the church is most wonderful and most itself when it is in dialogue across all people, when it embraces diversity and reaches out. So whatever unity means, it cannot mean uniformity. And despite the church's very shameful past, it does largely seem to be moving in the right direction, however slowly, when it comes to embracing a diversity of identity. What it seems to be struggling with right now is a diversity of conviction and opinion. So today on Pentecost, the birthday of the church, we need to ask, what is the church intended to be? In our world today, and even, or especially, in our church, we seem to find it harder to remain in fellowship with someone who believes differently, whether about worship, theology, ethics, or politics. Disagreement activates deep emotional responses. As I said earlier, we often respond like a guilty child or an indignant parent full of moral superiority. And trying to hold together unity in this is hard. But as Pentecost reminds us, we aren't doing this alone. So what is the role of the Spirit in all of this? First, as we saw in our reading this morning, the Spirit enables people to understand each other. But interestingly, as we saw, they don't all start speaking the same language. Rather, the church speaks in a way that all can understand. The miracle isn't sameness, it's communication across difference. The Spirit doesn't erase difference, but enables understanding within it. To listen with empathy, speak with humility, and remain united, even when we don't fully agree. Second, the Spirit transforms us. Rather than responding to disagreement or criticism with fear, shame, or anger, we respond with the fruits of the Spirit. As St. Paul tells us in Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. And lastly, the Spirit moves us from roles to relationships. When we see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, rather than as a threat or a subordinate, real dialogue becomes possible. So as we reflect on the Feast of Pentecost, what does it mean to be the church? It means that we are called not to erase our differences, but to embody a deeper kind of unity, one that only the Spirit can create. A unity not of uniformity, but of understanding. In a world that urges us to divide and to shame, the Church is called to be an example of what it means to listen and to build bridges. And perhaps most importantly, Pentecost reminds us that the Church doesn't begin when everyone agrees, but when everyone hears and everyone is heard. So may we speak in ways others can understand. May we listen with hearts wide open. And may the Church continue to walk in the Spirit, not in the safety of sameness, but in love that reaches across all boundaries and all divisions.